focus your life on? What do you want your life to honor, to exemplify? Is there a brand that you seek to make much of? The truth is this: we all have someone that we love, that we want to make much of. Those who belong to Christ desire to make much of Him. Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio, brought to you by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim finishes up an important sermon on what it means to be regenerated and to walk with God out of love for Him. It's a powerful message and one that will bless you. So without further delay, let's hear the light of the Word.
He calls us to persevere. He says, those who persevere to the end will receive, right? Sanctification is the process of a walk with God. He saves us. And sometimes we see somebody who is on fire for Christ. And we see this person and they're doing this and they're doing that. And it really looks like they're serving God out of the love they have for Jesus Christ. And then we turn around and we thought, what happened to them? Where'd they go? In my office, I've got some stuff called flash paper. Flash paper, if I take and put a spark to it, it's gone that fast. It doesn't go like a normal fire and burn up. It just flashes. That's what magicians use in their acts. Sometimes we're like that flash paper. There's people who come in, they look and act like they're a Christian, but a single spark and it's gone. They've disappeared. They've fallen away because they were doing it in their strength. They were doing it in their power. They were doing it in their might. And in being in their strength, it was works. It was never about Christ. It was about them. This is a very difficult thing because sometimes even true believers have this natural tendency to draw attention back to ourselves, don't we? We want people to see what we are doing. Well, I'm on 11 radio stations. Surely somebody ought to give me a pat on the back, right? Probably not. If I'm on anything and there's anything worth hearing, it's because of God, not because of me. It's because of Christ in me, not because of who I am. So I'm taking this path of sanctification. And all of us have to be really careful to do the things that nobody sees as well as the things that people see. The scriptures tell us that when we pray, we're not to pray like the Pharisees, or they do it on the street corner for everybody to see, everybody to hear. So does that mean you should never pray in public? Of course not. Of course not. But we've got to do the things that nobody sees at the same time as doing the things that people see, if it is about Christ, and if it is a part of our sanctification and our growth. But over 20-something years in the ministry, I've seen a lot of people that will not go very long on the things that nobody sees. And it's no credit to me, but I can tell you there's a lot of pastors who would not have stayed in this church this long if they were looking for glory for themselves. Because mostly we've been small, and mostly people haven't liked the truth that have come and gone. And so it's easy to find discouragement as God is sanctifying us. There are people who have left here because they didn't like the word, but also there are people who have left here because others who didn't like the word left here. But when we are being sanctified, when we love Christ, we do what needs to be done, period. I wonder how many miracles, how many healings, how many people were touched. Not just the ones who were saved, but people who were touched and saved by the apostles that never got recorded in Scripture. In fact, doesn't John say that if we were to write down everything that Jesus did, that it couldn't be contained in a book? Because that's how we are to follow after Him. We need to look at all those things going on and do what needs to be done for God's glory. But we do it because we love Him. And if we do works because we love him, then there is an advantage for us in Christ. But if we do it to earn his favor or the eye of man, then there is no value in those things to us. None. This is such an important point that in verse 3, Paul says it again. I testify again that every man who accepts circumcision, that he is obliged to keep the whole law. If we think that we can earn God's favor, then we have to earn it by being perfect. No error, no fault, perfect. I can't even look back over my 56 years and find a moment when I was perfect, let alone have a life of perfection. We are sinners. And so the law doesn't work for us, does it? The law works against us and condemns us because we cannot keep the whole law. What is it James said? If you have broken one item of the law, you have broken the whole law. And then verse 4, he says, you are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. Okay, let's put the brakes on for just a second here. This is scripture that those who want to say you can lose your salvation. Now, to lose your salvation is part of a whole other theory of Christianity that is false. But to lose your salvation, they use this as a text to say you can lose your salvation. What else would it mean to be falling away from grace? What else would it mean to be severed from Christ? You ever use that word severed in a place or a way that wasn't dramatic? I mean, what can you sever that isn't dramatic? When you sever something, it's dramatic. It's huge. It's important. It's big. Usually when you're severed from something, it's from something important. I've seen it used where a parent's rights have been severed because of abuse of a child. That's huge, isn't it? That parent, because of their actions, will no longer have any interaction with that child. That's a horrible thing. So you can see how those who misunderstand the law, those who do not take the whole word, the whole counsel of God, could see this as something that says you could lose your salvation, to have your salvation severed. But that's not what he's saying. I've started with it a moment ago, and then I went off somewhere else and didn't come back to it. When I was talking about sanctification, our salvation starts with regeneration. Along with regeneration comes the opening of the eyes, the faith. It comes the opening of the ears. True regeneration produces repentance, and it produces true repentance that causes us to mourn. This is all part of that sanctification, that growing process. But the salvation has not been completed in you unless it was truly regeneration. But there are those who come and look so Christian. I tell you, if you want to get in trouble, and not that you want to, but maybe you do, I don't know. If you want to get in trouble in public, announce in public somewhere that Joel Osteen is a heretic. I guarantee you there will be people who confront you with that. Oh, but his book did this for me. Yeah, well, there's a lot of people who read the things that Buddha had to say that they can say the same thing. It did this for me. There are those who profess to be Christian that have created a God of their own doing. And folks, I know I've said it every week probably, but any time we think we have to do something to be saved, including, say, this particular prayer, we have gone away. We have turned again to works, showing that though we were enlightened, that's the other verse, right, that people use, though we were enlightened, though we were shown what grace is, mentally, we never received a new heart spiritually. And there are people who know God's word. I guarantee you there's people who know it so much better than me, but do not know the God of the word. I have said in jails where people who have been in jail time after time after time, and they get into jail, and they get jailhouse religion, and they begin to read the Bible, and they get into study. And I tell you, some of those people knew far more scripture by heart than I do. But most of them didn't know the God of the scripture. John MacArthur points something out here. In verse 4, he says, "You are severed. You who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace." He is making a separation. Paul is making a separation here between those who do not belong to Christ and would go away, and those who do belong to Christ. Because look at this as we go forward. "For through the Spirit by faith," see that next group of people he's talking about? It isn't the yous, it's the we's. "We ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness." There are those that are severed from Christ because they have never truly been regenerated. And there are those who are waiting in the hope of his righteousness. And again, this hope is called knowledge. They know this. They believe this. Why? Because they've been regenerated in the heart. Those who have been regenerated, when they hear false doctrine, they may not exactly understand why it's false, but the Holy Spirit within them says something is wrong with this. There's been many times when Cynthia said, "Let me read this to you." And she's been reading something, and she'll read something. She said, "This just doesn't seem right." And we'll look at it, and we'll see where it takes truth and begins to twist it. And the Holy Spirit has revealed to her, something isn't right here. And sometimes she knows exactly what it is. And sometimes she says, "Hey, help me look at this." But there are those who do not have the Holy Spirit to do this. And these people often stand firm in the lie. They stand so firm in the lie that it looks real and is not. They have fallen away from grace. Several years ago, we had a big ice storm. It was after we had bought this building. And under normal circumstances, I always park at that end of the building, leaving parking down here for others. Also, it gives me a chance. I walk through the building and I can listen. I listen as I walk through this building for things that don't sound like they're supposed to sound, whether it's a furnace or whatever. But I had parked at that end of the building and I was walking up to the door and I hit the ice head first. Probably a good thing it was my head and not my back. I would have hurt myself more. But my feet went up, and I went down, and I laid there for a little bit. I laid there for a little bit because it hurt, for one, but because I was examining the error that I had just made. It was foolish of me to just step on the ice as if I was on dry ground. There wasn't anything smart about that at all. Of course, no one else here has ever done that, but there was nothing smart about that at all. I saw the ice. I stepped on the ice, and the ice overcame me. Folks, sometimes we do that with God's word. We see it. We see it. This is what it says. But we step out in another direction that isn't safe. And when we step out, we fall. If we are his, he picks us back up. But sometimes people fall, and they keep going that direction. Yesterday, I was sitting and visiting with one of the referees of the game. He had come in and was eating some soup, and we were talking. And he was telling me about a church that he had visited. He said he had met this girl. See, guys, you got to be careful. You lead them to church, not them to you. They lead you to church. He had met this girl, and she went to a particular church, and he joined her one Sunday at that church. He said when he got in there, he was sitting there, things were getting started, and he had to go to the bathroom. And he said, "I got up and was heading back to the back where the bathrooms were." And he said, "There was an usher there that stopped me." He said, "You need to sit back down, sir." He said, "Well, I need to go use the restroom real quick." He said, "No, sir, you have to have the pastor's permission to use the restroom." This was the wrong guy to tell that to. He told the usher that he's either going to get out of his way or there's going to be a problem. So he went around the usher and he went to the restroom, and he just thought that was that usher, and he came back in, and he sat back down, and he's listening, and he's hearing things that he knows is not true. So much so that he decides, I got to get out of here. So he gets up, walks back to that back door, and it's locked. And the usher says, no one can leave until the pastor's done. And he thought, well, I'm not going to make a scene. So he sat back down. As soon as those doors were unlocked, he was out of there. He said he never went back. But here's the thing. He said as time went on, that pastor, at some point, emptied the church's bank account, took two teenage girls and ran away, leaving his wife. And as they were investigating that, it came out that his son, who was the music director, had been molesting little boys in the church. Folks, there is a slippery slope that when we try to go with things that are not God's, all of a sudden we lose control. I've been fishing on creek banks before where I try to get from one side to another, and there's maybe a little steep area before the next sandbar, so to speak. And I've had times when I make the wrong step and go sliding right down into the water. We do that. People do that with the spiritual things. They didn't quite make it there. They fell away from grace. I fell away from the building when I slipped on the ice. I didn't make it to the building when I fell. Thankfully, there are those that God still is going to regenerate, that he picks up off the ice, that he picked up off the fall, and they come to grace. They come to Christ. But those who have it only in their head, but not their heart by regeneration, are severed. They are not eagerly waiting for the hope of the righteousness of Christ to be on them. They're trying to be righteous themselves, and they're trying to be the example of righteousness to people, to draw people to themselves. Verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. In Christianity, it's not about the works that you have done. It's about the faith and love in Christ. You know, there are those who have done many works, and they've done them for the love of God. But those works are just an example of the love that they have for Jesus. And while I'm at it, just real quick, I don't know if I said it earlier or not. Why do they love Jesus? Why do you love Jesus? Because he first loved us, right? We didn't step out and love him. We didn't step out looking for him. He loved us, and when that love came on us, we responded. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says this, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our hope is. That's where our love is. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. For in Christ, neither circumcision or uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. The point here is, if somebody is doing works and God regenerates them, those works didn't do it. What changed them was God. And now they would have a love for him. Just like the circumcised was the Jew, right? And the Judaizers are saying you have to become a Jew. You have to become circumcised. The circumcised, or those who were circumcised, that didn't get them saved. But there were some of the circumcision who got saved, right? There were Jews who were saved. I mean, if we're talking about them, we've got some apostles here that were Jews, right? In fact, Paul himself was a Jew of Jews, a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a man who was known by his works. That's why he was trying to please God by persecuting the church, because he did not know, he had not believed in the church. He had not believed in Jesus Christ until that day on the road. So the fact is there's hope. For even those who have seemed to have fallen away from grace, as long as there is breath in them, there is hope. Many, many times I have knelt at the bedside of someone who is dying and just told them about Jesus. Just whispered Jesus into their ear, because I wanted to make sure that they heard that. I've done that many times,
just knelt down and give the gospel. Unconscious, in a coma, I don't know what they can hear and what they can't. So I just give them the gospel. Will I ever know if that made a difference to anybody? If God wants me to know, I will. If he doesn't, I won't. But anyone, no matter how they have lived, can be regenerated and saved. But everyone who is regenerated will change the way they live once they're saved. There's none of this, I can live like I want to live. There's none of this, I can be who I want to be. It turns us. I want to read just a second out before we close here out of Titus chapter 2, beginning in the 11th verse. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness. We do not have to do the law. We do not have to prove anything to Jesus Christ. We do it because we love. I know a lot of people, but my wife gets flowers from me when other people don't, because I love her. I don't do it to keep her love, though sometimes I probably should. No, I don't do it to keep her love. I do it because I love her. And I want her to know that. I call her and interrupt the things that she's working on just so I can make sure she knows that, because I love her. I do things that I do for Christ because I love him, and I want it to be seen and known. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to earn his favor, and I don't have to do anything to keep his favor. He's already given it to me. So what I do is because of what he has done, and not to get him to do it. Please stand with me. That sermon came out very different than it was written. To God be the glory is all I can say. I pray that he has spoken to your hearts. I pray that he has moved you and that you have grown in your sanctification. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for these that you've gathered. And I thank you for your word. Father, I know that if there was something said today that was worth hearing, it was you in me by your Spirit. And I pray, Father, if there is one here who heard it, that they would know that it is you in them by your Spirit that caused them to hear. And in hearing, Lord, may they be moved to show their love for you and not to earn it. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen.
Amen. As long as there is life, there is hope. And the fact of the matter is that the gospel does change lives. It does change people. It does make a difference. Those who have been changed by the power of God through the gospel will live in a newness of life, not in order to be saved, but because they have been saved. What we do is a reflection of who and what we love. When we love self, our lives show that fact. And when we love God, our lives show that fact as well. We who love Christ love him because he first loved us and made us his own. And it is beautiful and wondrous in our sight. It is not our work, but it is God's work from start to finish. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counselor guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. we would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar using stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with today's final word. Today, I'd like to share a little footnote out of my last couple of weeks. A week or two ago, I attended a funeral in Kansas City area of my wife's cousin. This funeral, her cousin Brad, he had had cancer for some time, and so for the family, it was not unexpected. Of course, we're never ready for those kind of things. And I didn't know Brad real well. I would, you know, have short visits with him at family reunions, funerals of other family members, and that sort of thing. Had a couple extended conversations with him over the years. And one thing that was always very evident in visiting with him was his love for Jesus Christ and his zeal in life. And that zeal that he had in life, I truly believe, was Christ in him. He had a zeal for his family. He had a zeal for those things that are right. He had a zeal to reveal and to make known Jesus Christ. In fact, the minister at the funeral, as he was talking about Brad, he said he could just almost hear Brad in his ear saying, "Enough about me, let's talk about Jesus." That's the kind of man that Brad was. But let me tell you, I want to tell you something that was part of that service that really touched me. It was something that was written in his Bible. It was a quote that he had heard before, probably read in Tim Keller's book. It said that Jesus, it said the Christ, will make all sad things untrue. What a beautiful, beautiful thing for someone who has cancer, who knows their life is coming short, and they know that all sad things Christ is going to make untrue. He is going to wipe away every tear. He is going to lift up those who are His above the fray, above those things that want to bog us down in this world. We know that the scriptures say in Romans 8:18, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." He knew that, didn't he? And friends, the reason I share this with you today is I want you to know this too. As we've come through these first five chapters of Galatians, and we see today in that 18th verse, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And it says the acts of the flesh and then the fruit of the Spirit. Friends, we need to live by the Spirit. We need to be ones who are known by the Spirit. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added to you." I believe that my wife's cousin Brad, who is my brother in Christ, I believe that he knew this and that he seeked those things of the kingdom of God. And because of that, he saw the blessings in everything around him. Again, friends, this is my hope for you, because we don't have to wait for eternity to be joyful in Christ. Be joyful in Christ now and let those around you know it. Until next time, Sola Deo Gloria.